Today we're going to talk about faithfulness in giving. Faithfulness in giving. Take your Bibles first of all. Turn with me to the book of Mark. We'll start there in just a moment. Mark chapter number 8. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse number 2, moreover it's required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. Faithfulness is a very good characteristic in an individual. It really is, to be faithful. It can be faithful to church, faithful to your companion, faithful to your children, faithful to your work. Faithfulness is an outstanding characteristic in anybody in their life. And may God help us as Christians, especially to be faithful to God and to be faithful to giving. And faithful, we talked about faithfulness to God, to His house. We talked about being faithful to God's Word. Today we're talking about faithfulness in giving, in giving. So before we get started, let's pray. Father, we're thankful, Lord, again for life itself. We thank you for another day that you've allowed us to be able to come together in your house, Lord, to open your word and to read it and study it. And God, also apply it maybe to our lives. God, we know your word is alive, it's quick and powerful. And God, sometimes it speaks to us in ways that we don't want to hear. We don't understand. God, I just pray, God, today, Lord, as we look at it today, Lord, you would help us to realize that we need to be not just hearers, but doers of your word. And God, I realize most people here in this congregation today are doers of the word of God. And I pray, Lord, you bless us and help us, dear God, to continue to be faithful, Lord, to this thing of giving today. We thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us the opportunity, the privilege of giving. And Lord, we know, Lord, you gave more than anybody could ever give when you gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to come and die for us. And God, help us, Lord, to be reminded of that. And Lord, help us to be givers also. Father, bless those that are sick, those that are hurting, those that are not able to be with us today. We ask you, Lord, for those that are traveling, you be with them, watch over them, bring them back to us safely. And God, we now just commit this time to you and ask your God for your will to be done in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Faithfulness in giving. Someone said that unhappiness is the hunger to get. Unhappiness is the hunger to get. Most people today are trying to get because they're unhappy. They're unhappy. You know, it's an amazing thing to me, the things of this world that we think satisfy us don't satisfy us because we keep wanting. We keep wanting bigger, better, more, all the time. So unhappiness is the hunger to get, or the desire to get. And that desire is never satisfied from things in this world. It's impossible to do that. Someone also said that happiness delights itself in giving. Happiness delights itself in giving. What a blessing it is to be able to do something for somebody else. Just all of a sudden do something for somebody else. Unexpectedly doing something for somebody else. It's a blessing to be able to give to somebody else. When God lays upon your heart to do something, we ought to do it. I believe that, don't you? I mean, no matter what it is, if it's for somebody else, let's do it, okay? And just do it out of our pocket, so to speak, or whatever it is we need to do. Lend them a helping hand. There's a lot of ways to help people. But giving is very, very important in our life. We all need, I need to be a more giver than I have been in the past. And may the Lord help us, Lord, look today as we look at this subject of giving. We see, first of all, giving has a proper order and also it has a priority. A proper order and a priority, giving does. We see, first of all, that the first order of business with God. What is the first order of business with God to mankind? What do you think it is? He gave. What is God's desire for mankind? Salvation. Right. The first order of business for mankind, as far as God's concerned, is salvation, to be saved. Now, here in Mark chapter number 8, look at with me in verse number 34. Mark 8, verse 34. Jesus, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples, also he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. We find here a very important passage of Scripture and how Jesus Christ is concerned most of all about our soul. The soul is the most important thing that we have. We can't put a price on it. It's more important than anything you could ever think about in this life. And Jesus is trying to illustrate this here. The first order of business with God when it comes to giving is, first of all, become a child of God. Become a child of God. You know, we can't give to God until we know God personally, right? We have to know Him personally. And once we know Him personally, then it creates a desire in us, He does, to give to Him. But until we're saved, we have no desire to give to God. We're thinking about ourselves. Well, we can get in this life and get in this world, you know, conquer up, so to speak. You know, get all we can and can all we get, so to speak, as the world will say. But until we get saved, then things begin to change in our life. So we see here the proper order of giving is, first of all, to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Realizing what God gave for us. He gave His only begotten Son, the perfect Lamb of God, left glory to come down here and die for you and I. Therefore, we see Him given to us first of all. We love Him because He what? First loved us. He gave to us His Son that we might be forgiven of our sins. So salvation is the first order of business with God. He's concerned about our souls. And may God help us to be more concerned about souls this year than we ever have. Folks, I believe time is running out. I really do. The Lord's coming soon. Or we're going to be called home soon. You know, when you're 30 and 40 years old, you don't think of much about time getting by. But as you get older, 50 and on, the 60s, and older you get, the more tonight time flies, and you realize, hey, my days are literally numbered. We don't have much longer on this earth if Jesus don't come. You know? But I'm looking for Him today. I told Brother George this morning, I'm looking for the Helper Taker. I'm not looking for an undertaker, I'm looking for an helper taker, you know? He can come in today, and I'm looking forward to that, I really am. But we need to be concerned about souls of mankind, because listen, people that are lost, they don't know nothing about giving, they don't know nothing about serving God, they're blinded by Satan. And we really need to be concerned. We really do need to be concerned about people, you see. This is the first order of business with God, see, is to be saved. We can't give to God until we are His children. We also see, not only that, the priority in giving. We see that God wants us. He wants our heart. He wants us from head to toe, so to speak. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 5, the Bible says, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God." Giving our own self to the Lord. This is the priority in giving. Once we are saved, we get the order in line. Now the priority is ourselves, giving ourselves to the Lord. Paul talks about it in Romans chapter number 12. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your what? Your bodies, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." So we see here, salvation is first, and then giving of ourselves. Giving ourselves to God. I mean, our whole life. Just say, "God, I'm yours. I want you to use me." And then once we're saved, once we give ourselves to God, then we can begin giving. Giving to God. Giving to God. Heard a preacher say on the radio this past week, I believe it was, we need to not give our tithes, we need to pay our tithes. We pay our tithes because our tithe is not ours. It's God's. The tithe is God's. One-tenth of what I make is God's. So I pay my tithe, okay? And then after that, I give offerings. I give above that, offerings to whatever I want to give, whatever God moves and lays upon my heart to give. So we see now, as we're giving, we're talking about tithes and offerings. The Bible says in Malachi, very familiar verses today, chapter 3, verse 8, he asks the question, will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? He said, yea, ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. In tithes and offerings. You know, only God knows our hearts individually. But we all might be surprised if we knew the people that were robbing God even today. Literally robbing God. Not giving to God what's His. You know, I can't imagine doing that. I don't know about you, it bothers me if I don't give to God what's His. I thank God it does bother me because I know I should. If God didn't give me the health and strength and wisdom to do what I do, I wouldn't even have a job. I wouldn't be anywhere, you know? So that tithe belongs to God, first of all. All of it really belongs to God. Because God gives us the strength to do it, the wisdom to do it. But we see here, will a man rob God? We need to ask ourselves that question today. Are we robbing God? And after the tithes becomes the offerings. Offerings for whatever may be up. We're talking about faith promise. We're talking about offerings to missions. Missions are supported only by faith promise. By faith promise. Through the local church. Through the local church and by the local church. We take up our offerings together, our faith promises together. We combine together and we support, I think, 100 missionaries now that we're supporting right now. And thank God that we can do it together. We can do it together. I could not, it's impossible for me to support 100 missionaries. But we together, as God's people, can support that many, you see, because we give faith promise. We give faith promise. And this is what it's all about. Well, also, we give when missionaries come to our church. We give missionaries, we take up an offering. Every Sunday night this month, because missionaries come by our church, we take up an offering. That offering is to help them to get to the next location. You know, God knows their needs. God knows what they need as traveling. Any of you ever doing the traveling, you know how expensive it is to travel. Most of these missionaries got families with them too. So it's a lot of expense. So therefore we take up offerings for that. And what a blessing it is to be able to give. To help somebody to get down the road, so to speak, to their next destiny, you know. And you'd be surprised at the churches probably that missionaries go to, and they get probably very little when they go there. They get very little when they get there, and they have to really stretch the budget, so to speak, to get to the next place. Especially those on deputation. They're having a hard time, folks. They really are. So we need to realize that we need to give to missionaries regularly. Supporting missionaries is well-pleasing to God. Acts chapter 9, verse 36 through 42 tells us about that, how giving is well-pleasing to God. God wants His children to give, to learn to give, because He gave for us. He gave for us. So giving our time also to others, give our times to others. We see that people in need to know that someone cares. You know that? People in need to know someone cares, and we give our time to help those people. And again, it might not be money. It may be other things we could help people with, you know, just lending them a helping hand. Now, let's look at some scriptures for scriptures about giving. Turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Aren't you glad you came today? We're talking about giving. Amen. 2 Corinthians. Of course, you knew that. All of you knew that probably. 2 Corinthians this morning and chapter number 8. Scriptures for giving. First of all, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, look at verse number 12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is acceptable according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. So first of all, we have to have a what? A willing mind. A willing mind. And then it says it is acceptable according to that a man hath. That a man hath. We see, first of all, giving is according to ability. Ability. Some can give more than others. But proportionally, we can all give the same. We can all give the same. You know, I'm talking about the tithe to God. It's all, and proportionally, we're all giving the same. We're giving what God has instructed us to do, one-tenth of what we get, what we have. We all realize that some people make a lot more than we do, and they give more than we do. But nevertheless, we see we give according to the ability that God has given us, whatever that ability may be. The Lord takes note not only of what we give, but what we have left, folks. He takes note not only what we give, but what we have left. He knows that. He knows that, you see. And so the God is reminding, God reminds us that He knows what we do. He knows even the tin of our heart, much less what we do. He knows all those things. So first of all, we give according to the ability that God's given to us. The ability that God has given to us. Sometimes we wish that we could give more, but we can't because we have to live, and God knows that. But God accepts what we have to give to Him according to our ability, our ability. And when we do that, God blesses. And God's the needs will be met to whatever we're giving towards. Also, turn over to Luke chapter 6, another scripture about giving. Luke chapter number 6, verse 38. Again, very familiar verse. It says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. With the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." We see here we should give freely. Freely. Give freely. Not, you know, I'm going to just freely give, you know. And it says here, "Given it shall be given to you good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over." It's not like a potato chip bag, folks. You buy a bag of potato chips and it's about one-third full of chips, the rest of it's air. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about good measure, pressed down, you know, a full basket, so to speak, you know. All you can get in it, you know. But it's, we should give freely, freely. Not just a little pinch, but all we can, freely. He wants us to be a free giver, a free giver. You know, having a desire to give. It's a blessing, folks, to be able to give. It really is. Turn over to 1 Corinthians again. 1 Corinthians, another thing about giving. We give according to our ability. We give freely. And then to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 2. All of you know these verses. Just going over to refresh our minds. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 2. "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." When do we give? First day of the week. When's the first day of the week? Sunday. Sunday. So we should give regularly. Regularly. Now, I know some people get paid every 2 weeks, some get paid every month. But we should give regularly, whenever that time is, you know. And God wants us to do that. And what a blessing it is to be able to do that. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse number 7, "Every man, according as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a what? A cheerful giver." We should give cheerfully. God, thank you. I have the opportunity to give. Be glad. Be happy in your heart that you can give to the Lord. You know, sometimes we waste things that God gives us on things that we don't really need. What a blessing it is to be able to give cheerfully to God with a loving heart, knowing that I'm doing what I can do for God. I'm doing this for God. I'm not doing it for anybody else. I'm just doing it for God. You know, be a cheerful giver. Give according to ability. Give freely. Give regularly. And give cheerfully. These are scriptures that teach us how we're to be giving as God's children. And may the Lord help us to do that. Now, turn over to Philippians, chapter number 4. We're talking something about stewardship a little bit here. We're going to look at a church here that sacrificially gave. This passage here deals with stewardship, giving of money to meet the needs of ministers and missions as they spread the gospel. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 19, Paul is in prison. He's in prison for preaching the gospel. Okay? He's in prison there, and we find as he stands there continually, even though he's in prison, when people come by to visit him, what does he do? He still presents the gospel. He ain't going to stop. They're not going to shut him up. You know? He still does that. And we find here, as he does that, the church of Philippi hears about this, and they're stirred up. The reason they're stirred up, we're going to find a little later, is because they started supporting him when he left. When he founded the church, they started supporting him, and after a while, they quit. They stopped. And now they find out he's in jail, and God is stirring them up now because of their inconsistency in faithful giving, if you please, here. And so we find the church is stirred up to do two things. Number one, they're going to take up a love offering for him. They're going to take up a love offering sent to him. And then also, they're going to send a man to help Paul, to minister to Paul, to encourage Paul. They're going to send somebody by there. And so we see here in this passage of Scripture, look at verse number 10. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 10. Paul says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again." So what's happened here? They supported him, and they quit. And now Paul is finding out they're going to start doing it again. We see here, they're starting it back up. "Flourish again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity." We see here, Paul is complimenting the church here for what they're doing now. They begin to give back sacrificially to the ministry here. The church revived its giving, and its giving flourished again. It flourished again. It revived again when people began to give here, you see. So when the church was founding, it supported Paul and his missions, worked regularly. Again, but some reason they stopped. Now they pick it up to support him once again because they find out he's in jail. My, what a time to give back, amen? When they find out God's man's in jail, now they're going to do a little something for him, you know? But this is sacrificially giving here, we find here. Now, look at verse number 11. Verse number 11. "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." We find here that Paul, as he's writing to these people here, he's not writing concerning their gift only, but he wants them to be blessed because they give. He wants them to be blessed because they give. Not just for his need, but for their need also. They need to learn to give. And by the way, folks, we need to learn to give. We do. We need to learn to give to receive a blessing from God, you see. We need to give. We all need to search our own hearts today and ask ourselves about how we are supporting God's missions, God's people. The gospel, are we supporting the gospel as it gets out as individuals? Are we doing that? The gospel, listen, the gospel must be supported, folks. The gospel must be supported. How are they going to hear without a preacher? How are they going to preach unless they be what? Sent. They have to be sent. And we have to support people to go out and present the gospel. The gospel needs to be supported. The gospel must be carried worldwide. Jesus said, "Go to all the world and preach the gospel," didn't he? All the world. That's where he said go. And the gospel is done, carried worldwide, it must be supported. It must be supported by God's people. Churches need to awake to missions more than ever before. I really believe that a church is not mission-minded, is not God-minded. Really, I believe that with all my heart. How can they be? Because the Bible teaches so much about missions and how we are to support people. They get the gospel, preach the gospel here. And we find here, Paul here, now he's in a situation Look at verse number 12. He says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Contentment we find in Paul. You know, I really believe that Paul had the heart. He believed in God and trusted God so much, he realized that if people did not support him, God somehow or another was going to supply his needs. He was trusting in God more than he was man. You see? He was content. You know, that's the whole key, folks. That's the whole key. We are to be, as a church, awakened to missions. Where are the laborers to carry the message today? Where are the laborers to carry the message of the gospel today? We also see, where are those who are actually praying for laborers? Are we praying for laborers today? That people will send the message of gospel to people? The problem is not that we don't know the truth. We know we're to go, don't we? We know we're to go. But are we going? Are we going? Have you knocked on the door this week? Have you picked up the phone and called somebody this week? Have you talked to somebody today about this week about the Lord, this past week, I should say? We know we're to go, aren't we? We know what to do. What are we doing about it? What are we doing, folks? We're unwilling sometimes to commit ourselves to go. God help us to go. God help us to go. It takes discipline to go out visiting, folks. It does. You had to go to work. We had to go to work. But it takes discipline to go out to soul winning, go out and talk to people about the Lord. You can do it on the job. You can do it in the grocery store, gas station, wherever you go. There's need to be God helping us to be a mindset of everywhere we go, the opportunity to talk to somebody about the Lord. There's always somebody to talk to. Always somebody to talk to about the Lord. So we see we should go to all the world and preach the gospel. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. To every creature. To every creature, you see here. Now notice something about their giving. In verse number 15, now the Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again in my necessity. So we see here, this giving here was distinct to start with, giving to Paul as he traveled and went on about his mission trip he was doing there. They found it and supported him, but the unfaithfulness of them, it bothered Paul. It stirred his heart. Paul here, it stirred his heart. You know what a sad thing it is for missionaries to get support from churches, and years later, maybe a year or two later, whenever years later, to find out the church drops them. That's a sad thing. It hurts. It hurts, no doubt. You know, we can't describe it till you be there. You've been there. I know sometimes churches have to do something because of the budget. I understand that. But sometimes they just don't, the negligence or whatever, or they just quit doing it. You see, we don't know what the reason was, why they did, but they stopped. They stopped here. And we see here, and now they're fine. Their giving was sacrificial here, and it was seen and it was rewarded by God. In verse number 17, now, not because I desire to give, Paul says, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Paul says, I'm more concerned about you. I'm more concerned about fruit on your account than I am you supporting me. Because you support me, God's going to give me fruit in my labor. I believe that, you see. So this was Paul's desire here, you see, that it might happen this way. So we see, God saw their sacrificially giving to support Paul, and he departed, and he gave a reward to them because of their support to Paul in the mission program here. Paul's desire in giving, his desire in giving was not a gift for himself, but a reward for those that gave. Again, I say that because it's so important. It's so important. Folks, you know as well as I know that you can't give to God without God doing something for you. He's going to bless you somehow. It may not be momentarily, it may not be money, but God will bless you somehow if you will give to God and to the mission, the ministry of the gospel getting it out. So God was well pleased now with the giving of the Philippines, or the Philippines here, and he compared it to the Old Testament sacrifice, which a person offered to God. He compared it to that. We see here the commandment here, the commitment here of the gift to God here was acceptable. Again, like the pleasant smell of the animal sacrifice in the Old Testament, as they give sacrificially to the ministry of Paul. The ministry of Paul. So we see here, God has promised to supply their need, God, Paul's needs, and he did. Look at verse number 19. Paul says this, okay, church, you've helped me out for so long, now you drop me. I'm in jail now, and I'm still preaching the gospel, and now all of a sudden, you may start giving me some more money. But Paul says this, I like what he says right here in verse number 19, But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Paul was praying for the church. God's going to supply your need, and God's going to supply my need too. What a blessing to know today, God, to brothers and sisters, that God does supply our needs. Every day of our life, he does. Health, strength, food, clothing, all the things we need, he provides them. Notice, first of all, we see here the great provider. Paul says, but my who? My God. God is the great provider. You know that? He provides everything for us. God himself, no matter what the need is no greater than God. No matter what the need is. And sometimes we have big needs, don't we? But they're not bigger than God. They're not bigger than God. So we see the great provider is God. Notice the pronoun here, my God. Paul says, but my God. My God. Who's Paul trusting? He's trusting in God. He's trusting in the great provider, the one that's able to provide whatever he needs and whatever the church needs, he's able to provide for them. He says, this is my God. A person needs to be sure. We need to make sure that we are serving the true living God. That is the God that can supply any need you have. I'm thankful today that we can know that. We can know him personally. We can witness and we can have experience in our life time and time again that God has supplied our need in our life. He has for me and my wife. Many times he supplied our needs. We didn't know where something was coming from, but all of a sudden God supplied it. God provided it. God provided it. And he's always doing that. So we see the great provider is God himself. God himself, Paul says. We also see the great assurance. My God, what? Shall supply. He shall supply. The great assurance. We can rest assured that God is able to provide and he will supply whatever vision his dear children have. There's assurance. He gives us in his word. He shall supply. No matter what it is. We also see the great provision. He said, well, my God shall supply what? All your what? All your need. All your need. He's going to provide all your need. The great provision here is all your need. Do you realize that no need is important, is unimportant to God that you have? Whatever need you have is important to God because he's God. He's God the Father. No need will be omitted or overlooked that you have as a child of God. God is working all the time to provide our needs. All the time he's working to provide our needs. Sometimes it's through other people, it's circumstances. It's many ways that God provides our needs, but he's always working. We see here the great provision. No need is too big or no need is too little for God. He always is going to supply the need that you have and I have. I'm thankful to know that he does. Sometimes my needs to me are big, but to God they're just little. You know? But sometimes my little needs, you know, I don't want any mention to God, and God all of a sudden supplies it, just like that. That's the way God works. That's the way he works. So no need is too big or too little for God. Because, again, he is the great provision. We see there are many lessons sometimes that we need to learn. when these needs are met. That's why God allows things to come into our lives to help us to call upon Him and realize, hey, I've got a need, and I know only God can provide this need. And therefore, He teaches us a lesson. He wants us to learn something. What does He want us to learn? He wants us to learn, like Paul, to be content in the state that we're in and realize that God's going to supply every need that we have. Not our wants, but He'll supply our needs. He'll supply our needs. Sometimes He does supply our wants, too. But He's definitely promised to supply our need. We see sometimes there God wants us to be able to testify the fact to somebody else what God did for me, providing for me in a need I have. That's why these things come into our lives, that we might experience it and share that with somebody else. We also see the great resource. Where does God get what I need? You ever thought about that? Where does God get what I need? He's got all my needs. Now, where does He get them from? Look what the verse says. My God shall supply all your needs according to what? His riches were in glory. His riches in glory. God has everything in glory that you need and I need. No matter what it is. That's the resource. That's where He gets it from. There is no limit, not even a fraction, to the great resources of God at God's disposal, folks. God says that has everything you need in your life, everything I need in my life. I like to know that. Now, notice the last but not least, the great mediator. The great mediator. How does God supply our needs? We know the resource is heaven, right? And glory. But how does He supply our needs? This is very important, folks. This is very important right here. God Himself, He says right here, but my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by who? Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. We see here He is a great mediator. God does nothing apart from Jesus Christ. Nothing. No person can approach God without coming through Jesus Christ. And God does nothing apart from Jesus Christ. This is the key, folks. This is the whole key right here. And having our needs met. Number one, surrender our life to the Lord Jesus Christ and asking God to meet our need in Him. In Him. When we are in Christ, God is going to supply our needs. But until we are in Christ, He has not promised to supply our needs. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's in Him, you see. We must remember that God loves Jesus Christ, doesn't He? He loves His Son so much that He will do anything. Listen, God loves His Son so much that He will do anything for people who honor Christ by sacrificially giving and sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will give you your needs. He'll supply your needs. If we will just learn this key right here, it's surrendering our life to Christ and asking God to meet our needs in His Son, Jesus Christ. We sing that chorus every Sunday. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. Do we believe it? Do we really believe it? Well, God is going to supply our needs through Him. He's a mediator. He's a mediator, you see. And we thank God today that He's promised to do just that. Only a thought with you today as we close. Focus upon this week. And I want to focus upon this week. Something that I can give. Okay? I want to focus on something this week that I can give. Not something to get. Okay? Let's get away from that. Not what I can get, but what can I give? What can I give? Lord, put me somewhere this week that I can give somehow to help somebody else. If it's nothing but the gospel, listen, we can give that. You know that? We can give a tract. We can give something. But God, help us this week to be a giver. A giver. And get off this thing about getting. We need to learn to give. And when we give, God is going to meet our needs abundantly. We're going to be so shocked that we're going to want to give more. And give more and more and more because of the blessings of God He bestows upon us. Faithfulness in giving is so important. What a blessing we have to be able to give. And may the Lord help us this week to focus more upon giving. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you, Lord, for loving us in spite of us, Lord. We ask you now, Lord, to help us, Lord, as we focus this morning upon this thought of giving, Lord, and how we should be faithful in giving. But we're not talking about just money, but we're talking about ourselves. And God, you promised to supply our needs, God. And we know you will. But Lord, help us, Lord, to realize, Lord, that where our needs come from, Lord, they come through the Lord Jesus Christ. By us surrendering our lives to him, knowing him personally, and living for him every day. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing you give us every day. Thank you for this opportunity to be in your house now today. Please bless in the next service. Have your will and way in our hearts and lives. Save that one that's lost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.